Shall we turn together in the scripture to the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 19? Luke, the 19th chapter. I am very keenly aware of the fact that all of you have just recently eaten quite to the full, and that it is the usual Sunday afternoon nap time for many as well. So I've already got two strikes against me. I'm about ready to make the third one here. So let me just take notice of that and ask Paul Van Hart here on the front row that if he sees me drifting off to sleep to come and shake me real well so that I can stay in here with you all this afternoon. Appreciate Wesley planning the service this afternoon. I appreciate Femi's testimony shared with us. I appreciate all of those who have brought music to us today and now want to look briefly at the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. This is the word of God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We have read from the Gospel of Matthew's account of the angel coming to Joseph and telling him that Mary would give birth to a son. And the angel told Joseph, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. The name Jesus, meaning literally Jehovah Savior. And he was to be called Jehovah Savior, Jesus, because he would save his people from their sin. As Matthew reported that, recall he was writing as a Jew to a Jewish audience for the purpose of demonstrating that Jesus was indeed the King of the Jews. For this reason, Matthew reports the wise men coming and saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? And of course, a king is not a king unless he has a kingdom, a people, who would acknowledge him to be their king. And so the wise men coming to see Jesus and saying he's at birth King of the Jews would be a people who acknowledged him as king, reported to the Jewish people who were Matthew's audience. And Matthew then also repeated what the angel had said, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sin. And there Matthew makes it clear with the phrase, his people, that Jesus had a people of whom he was king. Of course, it would be expected that the Jewish reader would understand the Jewish people to be the ones of whom Matthew spoke when he said his people, because he is talking to them about the Jews and the King of the Jews. And yet we know, as Matthew also knew, that many of the Jewish people did not believe in him. And in fact, it was the leader of the Jews that led in the rejection of Christ and His crucifixion. Indeed, His people are not just the Jewish people. Thank God, Jewish people are among them. But when the angel said, "Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin," he was acknowledging that Christ had a people. He was affirming that Christ indeed would succeed at saving His people. He did not say He shall try to save His people from their sin. He said, absolutely, without any question, He shall save His people from their sin. He would not fail in that to which He put His hand. In other words, the purpose for Christ coming into the world would be fulfilled absolutely to the most minute detail. No question about it. He shall save His people from their sin. And so we read an account of that in Luke chapter 19 with the conversion of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was not seeking God. He was not a godly man. I've looked at this different times with the high school students in chapel and noted that there are two things which make his conversion highly unlikely. He was chief among the publicans. The publicans were the tax collectors, a very dishonest group of people. And he was the chief among them. He had a place of rank and esteem and status. What type of politics and connivings had he wrought to bring that about? A self-made man who was chief, self-confident, he had made his way in life. And add to that what usually accompanies that. It says he was also rich. And how the scripture warns about the few rich that will enter into heaven. And whereas the people of Christ's day counted wealth to be an evidence of divine blessing, Christ repeatedly pointed to wealth not as an evidence of divine blessing, but as the evidence of one who knew nothing of God. And so the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in torments, while the beggar was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the theme expressed in that account that Christ gave is the theme maintained throughout his ministry, that in fact it is the rich people who trust uncertain riches which can never keep them for eternity. For riches make wings like a bird and fly away. And so this was Zacchaeus' circumstances. He was chief and he was rich, a self-made man. Little hope for him. Little likelihood he's ever going to be saved. In addition to that, two things made it difficult for him to approach Christ. It says here that he was of little stature. He couldn't see around the crowd. And there was a crowd. The crowd standing in the way. And those two things combined made it very difficult for him. And yet, as Christ was passing through Jericho, something within him, that is within Zacchaeus, compelled him to run. To run ahead of the multitude and to climb a tree. Now, I don't know what the cultural implications of that age might be. Today, we generally don't see tax collectors or accountants climbing trees unless they're deer hunters getting into a tree stand or something. They generally keep their feet on the ground. I'll not go any further there. Zacchaeus, though, was driven to climb the tree that he might see over the tops of the people and see this man, Jesus, about whom he had heard so much. Well, there are four things that make it certain that Zacchaeus would be saved. And we read of those where it says that verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Jesus came to the place. When I read that Jesus came to the place, I'm reminded that he did not have to go through Jericho. There were other ways he could have gone. Just as was the case that day, he went into Samaria and met the Samaritan sinner at the well at which she was saved. And that passage in John 4 begins with the statement that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. There was a necessity. He must needs go through Samaria, a place Jewish people didn't go. They would go out of their way to go around Samaria, but Christ must needs go through Samaria. Well, a similar matter, Christ had entered into Jericho that day, and so Christ came. That's one thing that makes it certain that Zacchaeus' conversion will follow. He came to the place, and second, he looked up. Christ knows his sheep. He knows them by name. He sees them. That day when one of the disciples was called, Christ let him know he saw him when he was under the fig tree, in fact. He sees his people from afar off. Yea, we read that upon the cross, the prophet Isaiah writes, he shall see his seed. He came, he looked up, and he saw Zacchaeus. His eyes fell upon this one man, the little man up in the tree. And he said unto him, verse 5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He said, today I must abide at thy house. Just as he must needs go through Samaria the day that the Samaritan woman was saved, so that day he must needs abide at Zacchaeus' house, and therefore he must go into Jericho where he will meet Zacchaeus. And the entire process that day by which our Lord enters Jericho, where a man who will not be able to see him climbs a tree, that Christ might identify him and call him and tell him, today I must abide at your house. And so Jesus went to his home, the home of a sinner. And there two things transpired that make Zacchaeus' conversion very evident. In verse number 8, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. This was the opposite of what Zacchaeus had been. As a tax collector, he was determined to get what Caesar demanded he collect, plus anything else that he could. Oppressing poor people was no problem to the tax collectors, which is one of the reasons why they were so despised. He knew that he had taken from the poor. He was a taker, transformed on the spot into the very opposite, a giver. And instead of taking from the poor, he will now be giving to them. Greed is no longer the motivation of his life. Rather, gifting is the motivation of his life. This is a mark of a true child of God. He is like his Savior, who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And so those who will be Christ's will be transformed by the power of God into a liberal and giving and generous and gracious people. And as you look at the history of Christianity and the lens where the gospel has been widely preached, how much philanthropy, mercy, kindness is shown as a mark of the Church of Christ. The orphanages that are built, the hospitals that are developed. And the list goes on at the charities connected with those lands where the gospel has come. Indeed, it was seen in Zacchaeus, who says, "What I've taken from the poor, I give." He adds as well, in the second part of verse 8, "If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Chances are, these two affirmations, whatever I've taken, I'll give to the poor, and if I've done it falsely, I'll restore fourfold, chances are that would ultimately deplete Zacchaeus' purse. Everything he had gotten as a publican, a tax collector. He had taken from the poor, he'll restore it, and fourfold to those from whom he's taken unjustly. And in short, what we see is a man whose life is utterly changed. This is a real illustration of repentance. Repentance being a 180-degree turn to go the opposite direction. And these things demonstrate the conversion that day that came unto Zacchaeus. Verse 9, Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come unto this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Indeed, a spiritual son of Abraham as well as a Hebrew. That is Zacchaeus. Verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." And here, the account of Zacchaeus defines beautifully the words of the angel at the naming of our Lord. Let's take now the supplemental hymnal and turn to number 49, hymn number 49, and we'll stand together and sing the first Noel. Well, Diane and I want to wish all of you a very, very Merry Christmas and a blessed time together with family this evening and tomorrow. Shall we bow together as we pray? Gracious God, we thank Thee that when the fullness of the time was come, Thou didst send forth Thy Son, made of a woman as the prophets had promised, and made under the law, that He might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Receive our worship this afternoon and grant that our hearts might be ever profusely offering worship unto our worthy Savior. And as we contemplate the incarnation of God this season, may our hearts be in obeisance before Him and our lives at His full disposal. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.